Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Meltdown Comics in Hollywood, California. The Meltdown Theater, Harmontown, is now in session. Please put your hands together for the mayor of Harmontown, Dan Harmon.
Fun times at Harmontown.
I'm overcompensating. I'm a little exhausted. I'm bone sober and a little wiped out. We're back in the thick of it over at Community, and I'm very excited about the work we're doing. But it's very thorough work. A lot of very young writers being baptized by fire over there at Paramount right now. Where are you going, boss? I'll be right back. I'm going to get you some ice cream. We're working hard. We start shooting the first episode of the fifth season tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. And then at lunchtime, we table read the second episode, which we're supposed to be finished with by now. That's why we're hard at work back at the Keebler tree. And
do you have to go back to work right after the show?
Yeah.
You going back into Paramount or from home or what?
I'm going to go back to Paramount. Yeah, I'll probably sleep on my couch there in my little office. Chris McKenna's got it worse. He said he was up at 4 this morning. I didn't ask him why, but he's got to get some sleep or something. That's crazy.
He's got a kid, too.
That's probably why. That's probably the That's probably the 4 a.m. thing. I don't know. I didn't ask him. I had to run out the door. But anyways, I'm excited about what's going on over there, and I'm just doing my best to make all you little rapscallions happy. But I am a little wiped out, so I don't know what generates my entertainment on the nights when I'm really entertaining. Is it my boundless energy? or liquor or fear or anxiety? I don't know.
You could draw off the energy. I'm not just saying this in an ass kissy. You're the greatest audience in the world, but like it's not a huge audience, but you've got twice the energy of a full house. It's a good
yeah.
It's true.
Really good.
Yeah, I feel like I'm kind of betraying it. Like I feel like we should do something to earn their energy. Let's spin the wheel of strangers. There's no wheel for you listening. Who's in deep emotional pain in the audience? All right, a hand went up. There he is. It's Levi.
Levi to the stage.
I know this guy. Yeah, grab that mic.
Hello, Levi. I feel I owe it to the home listener to state that you are you've long blonde kind of Cary Elwes from Princess Bride hair, and you also have his mustache from Glory, which is nice.
It's my Three Musketeers mustache.
It's very nice. It's very nice. You've got a nice like wide baned corduroy maroon coat, and you're barefoot.
Jeff is fucking describing me. This is awesome.
Yeah, barefoot to the show.
Fuck shoes.
Did you walk down Hollywood sidewalks and bare feet?
Yeah. Actually, I washed my shoes before I came here out of courtesy. So
you washed your shoes?
Oh wait, fucking shoes. I'm really fucked up. I'm sorry. I washed my feet before I came here.
I think you washed your shoes and you left them in the dryer. That's why.
Yeah, they're still hanging back on the line, so I gotta hurry up and get back there.
So Levi, we met in Madison.
Madison.
And you were driven up there during the Harmontown tour from Idaho.
Iowa.
Same thing.
Iowa, whatever.
Where you live on the banks of the Mississippi.
Yes.
And you're a big old Dan Harmon fan.
Yeah, I have my girlfriend to thank for that, but you are... I'm not
really?
A fan, really. You're kind of... I've never had a hero, so I don't know how to put that in terms, but like, whatever that word is in comparison to you.
What do you find heroic?
As a person, what?
What do you find heroic about Dan?
He's fucking getting up here and like this is scary shit, and I'm an actor, I do theater and stuff, but you guys are fucking freaking me out right now. But not only that, but he gets up here and he doesn't do a bit, he doesn't put on shtick, he's just Dan Harmon up here. And all of us love him for that, don't we? Like that. That's the fucking reason I came here. Can I sit down? I'm like...
No, yeah, please sit down.
Put your feet up.
Oh. Apologies, okay. Jeff. Apologies.
Can you show the crowd the bottom of your feet? I just caught a glimpse of this. Holy, what in the Bangladesh?
Oh, yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Sooty. Let's,
yeah, that's your city, guys.
Let's call your feet Sooty. Were you cleaning a chimney before you came over here?
Just ride in a car, Jeff.
All right.
Well, that's what the bottom of shoes probably are like.
And that's why I don't wear them. It's the same thing.
Well, yeah, what about why not shoes?
Well, besides not shoes, and actually it's just more comfortable for me. You guys are personally the weird ones, all of you guys with shoes. I don't know how you can do it. Like it's
so there.
Yeah, that's it.
You
that's
fucking
it.
Weirdos.
You're all awful people.
You shooers.
But unlike something like if they all had pink bows on their heads, like shoes have this like deeply
stigma?
Practical purpose. No, they shield the human
foot
from... Do
they have a practical purpose?
Yes, from broken crack pipes and bees, like half-dead bees on the beach.
I did, in all honesty, I said that don't wear shoes. I did wear it over a pile of dead cows just a couple of weeks ago.
You wear shoes when you have to walk over dead cows.
Yeah, I'm not an idiot. It's fucking shit growing in there.
Can we learn a little bit more about walking on dead cows?
What do you want to know?
I want to know why you're walking on dead cows. What do you mean? What do I want to know? Did you have a hand in their death?
Were they dead before you? They wouldn't be in a pile like they are. Like that's inhumane. But as an Iowan in California, I can't technically tell you why I was walking on that dead pile. Besides the fact that it's rich in nitrogen, and which is a good fertilizer for plants.
Oh, wow.
For the podcast listeners, I was not winking. That was a twitch.
I don't know. Are you supposed to use entire dead cows for fertilizer?
No. You can use live cow's poop.
I'm just making the best of a situation. I rent a property, and I live on a farm, obviously. And the landlord is a terrible person. I really hope someone listens to this. My address, I'll tell you later. I love you too, I'm sorry. But my landlord just treats the cows poorly, and then when they die, he says it's awful. It just piles them all on top of each other and then just lets them sit there.
And then you go walking on them.
For a purpose.
You go out to harvest their nitrogen?
Yeah, it's... I got nothing.
This is fucking... This is the whole show now.
Well, there's more to... I mean, we haven't scratched the surface of Levi.
Oh, shit.
I
have a lot of deep emotional pain.
Are we allowed to scratch the surface? Can we talk about anything?
You can talk about me every which way.
All right. Well, I can
take it. You're not bullying me. Like, just...
Right.
I'm an open book.
Yeah, I just want to know what you're comfortable talking about. Because when we talked in Madison, you at the end of our conversation, which I thought was nice. Now, I wouldn't be shocking you to say you have weird mannerisms. Like,
no, that would be the truth.
Yeah, that's not. So, but then I would also I would say that I'm more comfortable talking to you than lots of other people who you would assume were not like there's some kind of like
you're breaking my heart in a good way.
I don't know what that factor is, but it's like you don't wear shoes, you've got the weird mustache, you've got a manic energy, and you identified yourself as a transgender in Madison. You identify as a female, you said.
But then sexually, I wouldn't want to fuck a dude. I don't know. Actually, a weird story about that. I had a friend of mine where a couple months ago, and we had just done some hallucinogens, and we were walking around. It was just me and him. This was a dude. And this is a very lonely guy, and like he used to have this girlfriend, and only one girlfriend, and he's been broken up, and so he really needs companionship. And there was one point during the night where he was like, do you just want to fuck? And I, like, we were sitting on a bench, and I'm just like, no. And I felt really, really bad, because he told me that, like, he had been getting mixed signals off me. Like, I'm a very flamboyant, flirty person, and I apparently had been doing that to him. And he's like, I even made up a joke. Oh, you want me to go Jolly Roger you in the bushes? It's really a joke.
What's a Jolly Roger?
That's what he asked.
I want to know.
Levi, show him.
I need you to bend over.
I don't want. It's a podcast. You'll just have to tell me.
We could describe it, and their laughter would reinforce it.
Is it? It's not like a Jolly Rancher.
It's a lot bigger than that.
Yeah,
and, definitely involves.
There's more sucking involved.
Lots of pirate booty.
Well, what is it? Come on.
Well, Rogering is fucking, and Jolly is a happy version of that, I guess. Yeah.
That's it? Jolly Rogering is fucking?
Well, yeah, you get a Jolly Rogering, yeah.
Oh, okay, all
right. It's innuendo, Dan. It can mean whatever.
Wait, so, Levi.
I thought it was a new thing, or like a secret thing, or a specific thing.
I'm not that
thing.
Cool.
Like, you take a 2x4 and a dead cow, and you flip it, and...
it's not a good joke. Those cows, they lived, and they died, and they're sad now.
So I don't know where to begin. I don't know where to middle, and I don't know where to end.
My girlfriend doesn't know where to begin.
I saw you made a video that's online. Maybe you can tell people how to get it to it on YouTube. It's like a Harmontown fan video, which again, on paper, if someone were to be afraid of someone, like this video has all the earmarks, and yet I don't fear you. But the facts on paper about this video, which are that you made it by yourself. You play me, Jeff, and Aaron, and yourself. And in the beginning of the
girlfriend too, and my girlfriend,
Spencer. And in the beginning of the video, realizing that Harmontown is canceled that week, you basically, not to put too fine a point on it, you take rope and other implements and you abduct each of us.
I didn't abduct you, and I didn't abduct Spencer. Both of you came willingly.
You lure us.
I lured you with a bong and something else.
And then it's you by yourself in this apartment playing all of us doing a Harmontown show for you yourself, wearing different wigs and beards
I am
and things.
A psycho.
But around behind you, it's like, I'm assuming this is not set dressing. This is where you actually live. There is
just dead cows everywhere.
There's just.
Except for the corner pocket. Like, I saw that, and I was like, oh, that's next to Jeff, and that's in between Aaron. That's got to be a weird joke there about putting pockets in things.
It looks...
Never mind.
I haven't seen it. I'm very intrigued.
On the walls behind him, there's writing on the walls. It looks like maybe... If
oh, no, you're talking about my room.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
it looks
that
like...
That is a crazy person's room.
Yeah.
Jeez Louise.
If I was set designing for a Sirhan biopic, like there's like swirls and then there's other writing.
It's
and then
all,
there's
it's like writing and drawing and
yeah.
Like,
what is written on the wall?
What is it?
Is it just random thoughts? Like
plenty of Community references, Doctor Who quotes, some shit I make up on my own. Actually, I really like it because I have to do it all the time by myself. I really like it when my friends come over. I have a big box of markers. I'm like, go ahead, like, write whatever the fuck you want to, as long as you don't write over anything. Like, you know, as long as we respect.
Levi, I have a question for you. So you identify yourself as a woman, but you still have the male facial hair. Is that a conflict?
That's acceptance. Like, and it goes back to, like, the fucking thing. I want to be able to have the womb on the inside of me and have kids. That's the only, not the only reason to be a woman, but I mean, that's the reason why I wouldn't like go into a surgery right now. I mean, that's, you can't get that. Like, you'd have to drink a magic potion for that to happen. So, did I answer that question right?
No.
Well, is it?
I am not. No,
it was. It was an answer to three other questions I had. So that was perfect.
Well, there's transgender where you just identify, where you just express as another gender, and then there's transgender as a subset of that, people who go, okay, not only am I expressing as another gender, I'm going to take physical steps. And you're saying, well, the brass ring is having a uterus, and that's not achievable through medical science, so why not have a mustache?
Pretty narcissistic, but to the point. No, that's, I mean...
That's basically it, right?
I want to be able to, you know, fuck whoever I want to and have all their kids and rule the world. You know, it's just
But you have a girlfriend with which you have a technically, medically heterosexual relationship because medically you have a wiener. Do you have a sexual relationship with your girlfriend?
Yes.
And so when you guys do it, it's a wiener going into a wee-wee.
I like that.
But it's
not, isn't it? I know.
I mean, I hate to sound like a fifth grader, but so is that lesbian sex? Is that like is, I mean,
is it? I don't know. No, since I know that I can't have what I want, and to try and like force anything other than that is sort of childish, then it's like, you know, accept what something gave you and like live with it. Like, I can't. What am I going to do about it?
If I gave you a uterus right now with a magic wand, and I cannot, no matter how much you know, no begging. But if you had a uterus right now, would you continue to have a relationship with a woman?
That actually, I would only with her. Like, I,
right.
It's so much love. Actually, it's yours and Aaron's love. Like, listening to the podcast, it's just listening to us almost sometimes. Like, not only you guys fighting, but just your like your little jokes you play. Couples fight, people. Come on. But just your little in jokes with each other. And I was listening on the way here. You were talking about Aaron was listening to Game of Thrones, and you kept doing like this voice or whatever. Or no, not Downton Abbey. And she would like, she'd take off her headphones. She'd be like, "What the fuck was that, Aaron? Nothing is happening. Shut up, you're all right." And then she put her headphones back on and just like continue. And you'd still like fuck with her. Like,
oh yeah, well, I was doing like closed mouth British accents. Yeah.
I couldn't remember what. I just listened to it an hour ago. I can't fucking remember.
All right, well, so what? You? I said who's in deep emotional pain, and you raised your hand just by default. But are you? Do you have any actual short term things that we can help you with?
I want to live out here, man. This place is like, I don't want to go back to the hellhole that I. And not, it's not a hellhole. I really, the town's okay. It's hard.
I don't want to enable anything, but I will say you will fit in more here than.
Well, no, that's honestly, quite possibly. Like, I was like, God, the people out here are just fucking awesome. Like, I want to live and breathe.
And people
out here.
Don't, you know, you never like you know, people out here, they come out here because they're chasing their own thing, and then some.
But
people,
I don't want to do that.
Some people are successful at building their own thing, which means if you're in a room with a bunch of people and one guy's got a weird mustache, another guy's got a shark fin on his hat, like you can never quite dismiss anybody because somebody might be a millionaire or about to become one, or it's a, there's this whole culture of like, you know, it's very hard to. For bigotry and prejudice or other synonyms to gain a foothold here because it's not incentivized financially or socially.
Do you guys have an accent? Because I haven't heard one yet. Like, does Los Angeles people, do you have an accent?
It's kind of
I'm trying to tie into that. Like, you don't have like
the Valley has a pretty strong one.
The Valley?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Accent.
Say what?
We have a lack of accent that's technically of accent. Like, we sound like what movies are, so, like, but, I mean, we sound different than other people, so we have
right.
an accent.
Yeah.
I mean, I can tell if I'm talking to somebody, I can tell that they're born and raised in Los Angeles. I can detect the L.A. Speech, but it's just, yeah, it's, to me it sounds like a lack of an accent, but I think everybody thinks that they don't have an accent, right?
All right, well, we can't help you live out here, but...
No.
But
deep emotional pain.
Any guidance?
Any guidance?
Yeah. Do you need advice?
No, I don't need it. I think I could make it quite on my own, but
I guess if you were open to advice, like the first thing that would happen is you'd be covered in shoes. Like, you're clearly. I believe you when a man that is that committed to not wearing shoes says I'm not in the market for advice. Like, I truly believe you because you're like I sometimes don't tie my shoes and I'm like belligerent about it. Like, don't tell me to tie my shoes, and I bought laceless shoes. And like,
you're looking at you, if you just from the neck up or even from the waist up, you got the coat on, the jacket, and you have this neatly trimmed, you know, kind of what could be considered fancy facial hair. That's kind of fastidious. I would expect.
like spats and some like some razzle, some razzle dazzle like spectators.
So I'm throwing you off that I have the facial hair. But
so yeah, so you're kind of like you're very what kind of walking contradictions, which is great. It makes you.
I fucking love. That's awesome. Yeah.
Do you think that your feet are like hobbit feet? Like are they like more equipped? They must be. By
they don't
now.
Have hair on the top. But
no, but I mean,
thick.
Like, are they like they're like shoe feet? Are they like developing calluses? Are they
no,
more
it's developed. It's about like a half inch callus on the bottom of my foot. Like.
So are you maybe like the shoe wear equivalent of a nudist in that like you're thinking like maybe we should all not wear shoes?
No. I when I said that thing about you guys are weird for not wearing shoes, like go ahead do whatever the fuck you want to, like just don't make me wear shoes, like.
But where is there a route to that? Is there anything weird to that? We know you don't have to. No one's going to make you. But
did you wear them in Madison when we met? Because it was snowing out there.
No, he was. Yeah,
I got frostbite.
I can confirm
actually.
That.
You came barefoot in the snow.
Yeah.
It was bloody cold out there.
Yeah, I got frostbite.
It was a blizzard, and you didn't wear shoes the whole time.
Damn.
Yeah.
Well, Spencer doesn't wear pants anytime. Like he's always in shorts. Yeah, I bet people give him shit for that all the time.
We're not getting.
But there wasn't some formative experience. There's not some root, like kind of.
I was forced into shoes, actually. Like
many of us were. we get trained not to touch hot stoves, not to walk out of traffic. And I'm not picking on you. I'm just like I'm engaging in the dialectic here. So because I want to find out, like, because you're different in that you are committed to not wearing shoes, and I'm curious, like, if there was a. Expound on that. You were forced to wear shoes. I'm sorry, I cut
okay,
you off.
Okay, what are you looking for? Like the moment I turned?
Yeah, like your origin.
Wearing shoes, yeah, and like then I stopped wearing
your,
shoes.
Your parents were killed by a shoe outside of an opera house.
The Batman. Shoe Man, the Levi story.
Is it like a tick, maybe? Is it
no.
like it's something that
my
helps you feel...
My feet are fucking sweaty, man. They're just like gross. It's kind of sweaty sometimes. Like,
so you think...
Like, what do you mean by tick?
So shoes are extra uncomfortable for you, maybe.
I can't even wear a pair of sandals. Like, they're just... You guys, even if I was wearing the sandals now, like, the people in the back would be able to smell my feet.
Like,
it's but you did don some shoes to walk through the cow carcass field.
Safety first, Jeff.
Okay, all right. What? How about frostbite in Madison?
That was me being cocky.
Don't take that tone with me, Levi.
All right. Well, let's have a hand for Levi for joining us. Thank you.
I'm going to tell you stuff. Okay.
Enjoy your stay in Harmontown.
This episode of Harmontown is brought to you by Fulton and Rourke. Jeff, you're sick of spilling all your colognes all over the place. You hate liquid colognes, is that correct?
It's my nemesis. It's the thing that gives me nightmare dreams all night long.
I can't remember how many times I've walked in on you just covered in sticky, wet cologne.
I have traveled and broken a bottle of the cologne that I wear, and then my luggage smells like a French whorehouse for the rest of time.
Yeah. But Fulton & Rourke is a men's fragrance and grooming company that specializes in solid colognes, shave, and shower products, all designed to make getting ready easier and more enjoyable.
Now, when you say solid colognes, do you mean like solid in the jazz sense? Like, wow, that jazz solo was solid.
You know, I do mean that, but I also mean physically solid as well.
Oh, like a little... Like, you're talking about a wax-based cologne that travels in a little small package that I can't spill all over my luggage and smell like a Mexican tit house. So these are travel-friendly, wax-based colognes that can go anywhere?
Plus, there's nothing to break or spill, and of course, they all smell fantastic.
Fantastic.
Like a Mexican tit house.
I mean, there's different levels of Mexican tit house. I mean, there's the high-quality ones, there's the ones that you wish you didn't go to.
Right.
Yeah.
Titas Fantasticos.
Is one of their fragrances called Mexican tit house?
Yeah.
Que Fantástico.
Fulton & Rourke's bar soap is designed to exfoliate the skin with or without a washcloth.
Also, you don't even have to touch it. It comes and does it in the night.
Well, that's amazing. That's literally unbelievable.
Did you know, Spencer, that GQ magazine just named their shave cream the very best on the market today?
Well, yeah, of course I knew that. Why would you ask?
I mean, who am I asking? I mean, this guy, you go to his house, It's like an episode of Hoarders. So many back issues of GQ magazine there.
Right. And I got to tell you, my house is made out of bricks of cologne.
Wax-based cologne, I hope.
Yeah, yeah.
Try it yourself at FultonandRourke.com and save 15% off your purchase by using the code FERAL, F-E-R-A-L, at checkout.
That's FERAL at checkout.
Smell good for once, you fucking bums.
Fulton and Rourke, get your smelling good.
Fulton and Rourke, time to get your stink on.
Off.
Get your bad stink off and get your good stink on.
Fulton and Rourke.
Not by Menon. Different corporation.
By Fulton and Rourke.
See, we gave the audience a little treat because they're such a good audience. We brought Levi up.
That was more exciting than I had expected. That was very nice. That's a fascinating guest to bring up.
What else?
You did a good job, I'd say, too. You did a good interview there. You're actually... What do you think that's about? Why do you think you're...
Well, I think it's the same thing. Like, I meet a lot of people after the shows and stuff, and this is nothing on the people. Everybody, all Armenians are fantastic, and many of them are exactly like me, and that's probably a problem, a breakdown in our... Like, a lot of very little eye contact, and a lot of, like... People get, like... I'm very flattered by this, but I have now met a lot of people that are very nervous to be meeting me, and I don't suffer the illusion that it's because there's... very much special about me. I think it's because I know how they feel. Like when I moved to LA and like oh my god, Bob Odenkirk standing over by the fucking salad dressing, and just like doing really really weird shit and saying a lot of weird shit and feeling like really conflicted and weird about like having like face to face encounters with people just because you know I had a one way relationship with them for a long time and had built up in my head that they were a symbol. So my point being, I meet a lot of people who are nervous to meet me, and I, even meeting the mailman, am nervous to meet the mailman. Like, I don't make I get very uncomfortable. Text messaging saved my life because I could never talk even on the phone to people. I'm like okay, and everyone thinks I'm a dick, and I can't look at people and all this stuff. And I don't know. I think maybe it's just to use the crassest language possible to be very efficient about communicating it, and I think he can take it. I think Levi's so crazy, but so honest about it. He's just like, there's nothing. I don't know. There's like, there's nothing's gonna happen. You know, it's like, oh, you just like look, ask him questions, and you're just gonna get answers. Whereas somebody else, their head might explode or something. I don't know what it is. No, God no. I'm saying you're special, my friend. And
yeah, no, you did it just right.
But now that I know I have that power over you, that you could scream out, yeah, it's a roller coaster with me. But it's okay. Let's keep the show special.
Before we move on, our good friend, I don't know your last name, so I'm going to refer to you as the audience knows you, B Fungus Bill. What is your last name, Bill?
Moritzen.
Moritzen.
Yeah.
Moritzen.
Moritzen.
B Fungus Bill has brought us another guest. He famously has brought us tainted meat and a bag of rocks, which are lovely. Right. Tonight he has brought little kind of lovely wooden shingles with quotes from our show on it, and he's given me a handful, and I think he's got a ton to dispense to the crowd if you guys care to have.
All right. A little momentum. It's like Christmas here. You found a middle ground, but it was you brought the food, and then we made fun of you because the food had mold on it. And then the following week, in my opinion, what was a passive aggressive move, you brought inert rocks, as if to say, "Fine, the rocks then." But this is like,
well,
now this is wood,
right? Which, I brought you stones,
but it has like inscriptions on it. Yeah.
But the weird thing is that the sticks have words on them.
Right. Yeah. I ate the country like Pac-Man. That's a quote from me.
I don't even know what this one is, but I'm quoted as saying, "You fuck Batman, we fuck you." What? I don't recall the context of that. But it sounds like something I would say.
No, what? When did I say this? Season 3 of Community was written on anus?
It was posted somewhere.
It was Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
Levi knows the city.
Adderall.
My friend is. Not me.
Yeah, yeah.
Did I mean to say Adderall and I said anus?
I like this one where I take a bold stance and say I take adorable shits. They're like unicorn tears.
If that one's not correct, I want to take it back. Because, like, all right, in order to get through all of these, and there's like 62 of them, I had to, like, sort of plumb the depths of the web to wrangle enough of these to... So there's almost no duplicates.
How many did you bring us tonight?
62.
62?
Yeah. I had planned on 100, but I got tired.
We're probably a little over that, right? I don't know. I can't be bad at that.
I am going to be a millionaire, and I'm going to smell like a butt. That's me being defined.
That's the Dan Harmon guarantee. Oh, your money back.
You're not giving me.
You can do whatever you.
I want to make sure everybody gets one or as close as possible. Everyone gets
do one. Whatever you wish with them. But I would like to point out some things about this. The shiny ones, those are curly maple. The yellow ones are yellow heart. The ones that don't have much grain are basswood, and then the dark ones are cherry.
this crowd loves fine wood.
I wonder if there's a type of wood that would have been booed.
Wenge, boo. Too exotic.
Well, I would like to donate these to make sure everybody gets at least one.
Yeah, and I've got about 7 or 8. So if someone gets shorted and wants one, they can come up and grab one for me.
I'm eating the lead paint of my own ego, Dan.
I was actually hoping you'd keep that one.
I like that. It's very appropriate.
That's one of my favorite quotes.
All right. Thank you, Bill. You're going to hand them out now?
Sure.
All right.
Sure.
Wow. It's a special night. I don't know if it's first-time visitor accessible for a special night, you know?
What do you mean?
Well, I don't know. It's not like... there's no cats jumping through hula hoops or anything. I'm not telling stories about jerking off.
I came into the green room, and you looked like you were half asleep in there. You looked really, really...
I'm just mentally exhausted. I've blogged about this fact. Just writing is... It's so hard. Before your body gets physically tired, before your eyes get sleepy, before you get frustrated, like your brain actually just wears out. Because you're just like, you're running it like a motor because you're like looking at this fucking blackboard and going like, okay, so why, what does Annie want again? And it's just like, and then one person goes like, well, I think she wants to feel loved. And then someone else goes, but if she wants to feel loved, why how come she's being so mean to Leonard? And I go, like, all right, what if it was like Tron? And everyone goes, ugh. Unless that solves everything, in which case it's just problem solving. Mushing your brain up against the boundary between it and the shit that you need to know. The whole time.
Are the other writers like? Have they gotten on board? And are they still intimidated to talk? Or does everyone firing?
No, they're coming out and they're great. Because now we've had to break up into smaller groups. There's so many of them, and they're so like all of the circumstances are so strange. But I think once we it just takes a while, and then we broke up into small groups, and now I don't exactly have my ear to the ground, like in terms of gossip and stuff, but it seems like they all really like each other too, which is kind of a feat with 14 writers. Like there's usually one person that's like, oh, here comes Stanley. Boy, what a mistake.
What's your feeling about the episodes? Like, can you compare this to how you felt going into previous seasons?
I feel better about 501 than I felt going into previous seasons, but I can't bet my life because it's just so, I don't know, I'm so close to it. I don't know.
Are there any like nods or winks to the fact that you're back? Is there any kind of dealing with that, or are you just kind of picking up where last season left off?
The circumstances of coming back and having to do a fifth season like they automatically kind of generate a context of nodding and winking. Like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, we're getting back to basics, and so that feeling is in the air. And so I'm not doing a bunch of inside jokes and going like, what happened last year, boy? I had a bad taco. Did you have a bad taco? No, we all had bad tacos. Now it's all gone. Turn on the fan.
Every time there's a reference to something that happened last season, it's foghorn.
I mean, that's not entertaining, you know, to do that.
It would be pretty entertaining, I think. I think you get mileage out of that for an act or two.
Let's do Q&A. I don't know why I spun a wheel. Anybody have any questions? Jesus Christ. Like camera over here as a documentary guy.
Neil Berkley, everybody, the maker of our documentary.
If your question is, how's the documentary going? Clearly it's not finished. Still some shots to pick up. Yeah. And that's how I learned about America. Now get the fuck out of here. Kidding. What was your question?
If you could be a were version of any animal during a full moon, what would it be?
All right. If Dan could be a were version of any animal during a full moon, which animal would that be?
Were version of any animal. I would
You can be a were cat? I guess you could. Yeah, you can be a were whatever you want.
It would have to be rampaging.
Right. So yeah, were is not wolf specific. You could be a were whale. You didn't ask me, but I'm going with were whale.
And I no control over this, right? It's all every full moon. All right. Well, I just want to. I have to think practically because I want to. I don't keep track of time very well, and I just want to make sure that like I'm not like in a place like if it was a tiger, then there's places where that's not going to be cool. So I feel like it's a boring answer, but I feel like I just go regular house cat so that I maximize my ability to like hide, but also blend in and get away. And if anything should go wrong, I'm kind of wasting the power by just being scared of it, I guess. Just sort of dealing with it like a disease, like I have wear diabetes. I guess I'd stack some Snickers bars and.
So you're a human, but I would turn into a part human, part whale. That's probably a bad idea. Would I be able to?
Oh! It's a were. I'm a were cat. Like I'm not just turning into a cat. So,
were whale wouldn't work because I would turn it. A moo would come out, and I would just be a whale on this sitting here at this podium, and I would die.
Yeah. Okay.
I would have to be near a body of water at all times.
Well, then maybe like a were chimp, so that people could barely tell the difference. Like you just feel it. Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to be a were. Okay. Well, then fuck it then. Just go for. I would be a were. Otter.
What about like a were bear? That's kind of cute. You're kind of a bear. In the gay way.
All right, I'll be a were-bear. Because I was thinking otter because, again, I was thinking like I would like to be an otter because they, like, swim on their back and they crack open clams on their tummy.
Otter is awesome.
But if you were a were-otter, you'd be like a six-foot guy eating clams on his tummy. You could do that as a were-bear. It wouldn't matter.
But the otter would have to rampage. What would the where otter's enemies be? Clams and like mollusks and stuff?
I think you're confusing it because wolves rampage, and werewolves therefore have to rampage. I think if you were a werefish,
you know, he had the caveat that you would have to rampage.
I don't think all werewolves rampage.
Oh, okay. So you have to rampage. So, all right, a werebear. I'm just gonna got it.
Werebear's good.
All right, two more questions.
Are you worried about once you colonize this perfect moon colony that you would have nothing to rant about if it's perfect?
Moon colony. All right. The question is, thank you for getting us back on track. What's your name? Greg? Kind of an ordinary name. We had Levi. What was your name?
Chud.
Chud?
What? Not really. Chud? Like cannibalistic humanoid underground dweller, Chud? Yeah! Is it really Chud?
That's what I've gone by.
Oh, you weren't born Chud. That would be fucking awesome. How did the name Chud generate?
It's kind of boring. In fifth grade, I figured I was an adult, so I could name myself.
and a judge taught you a lesson. He said he named himself because he became an adult. He thought he could name himself. I decided when I was a kid, when I turned like 13, like coming into my own, like having identity things, I decided that my as a writer, my name was D.R. Harmon, even though my middle name is James. But I was like D.R. Harmon, and I when people would say, what's the R stand for? I'd say, rutabaga. Yeah. I'm not proud of it. Appreciate my candor. I didn't come here to win a popularity contest.
Did we ever talk about in the show? We must have talked about that your nickname was Pac-Man for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
Did we talk about that in the show?
Yeah, I wanted to. Kids, they want to know who they are. What's their deal? I didn't really have anything, so I just jumped on Pac-Man. Just called myself Pac-Man. I made a windbreaker that had like a little felt Pac-Man on it. I didn't make the windbreaker. I made the felt Pac-Man. And I would just like as everything was Pac-Man. Like in Wisconsin, like they appreciate people appreciate knowing what to get you for Christmas. You know, it's like everyone has a totem. You know, if the mom's a mouse and get dad a belt buckle, and you know everybody's got a gimmick. So Pac-Man
that's a terrible thing gift to get if you're a child abuser.
Yeah, belt buckles.
Get dad more belt buckles.
I think.
What do you have in a nice, heavy, sharp one?
Yeah. Shit. What was that? Okay, the question was, am I worried that when we colonize the moon, I won't have anything to rant about? That's the goal. I don't enjoy ranting.
I'm just sitting here looking adorable. I'm not doing anything.
I do it because I have to. It's does a car enjoy producing carbon dioxide? No, it's combusting. It's got shit in it, and it's like it has to get the certain work done. Living on Earth produces a byproduct called rants.
I think you'd find stuff to rant about.
Well, at first I'd be like, but mostly be me. I'd be like, why didn't I bring a bottle opener?
Yeah.
I'm such a dick. I'm such a dumb dick. And I'd be like, you know.
You could rant at my little fancy VIP moon going as Phoenixville orbits you. It's going to orbit 4 times a day, too, so you see more of me. And we're all going to go by. We're all going to be at the Mexican restaurant mooning you.
There were a couple people, I went into the Harmontown subreddit, and there were a couple people that were really taking me to task, or taking my idea to task, as if I had somehow like implied that they should go to the moon with me, which I did not. And they're like, yeah, it seems a little hypocritical. I mean, if he hates capitalism so much, why doesn't he give up his big house? Like you were instigating that bullshit that you started. Which is just, I do want to address that point, and I did in the subreddit as well with a little typey rant, but it's okay to have a big house and know that capitalism is a flawed system. Like the idea that you could respond to somebody questioning the world that you're in by telling them that you don't give them any credit because they haven't yet reduced themselves to a criminal level of poverty is exactly the same as saying, go fuck yourself. Like there's no difference between we are all within capitalism, and we all survive within capitalism by buying and selling things. I don't think it matters. Like my big house is me going like, this is what I deserve. I'm going to work this hard and make and so I can have this much space to move in. I can walk around that space and go, Jesus Christ, what a fucked up system that made me work that hard for this much space. You know, and want to go to the moon and live in a little cubicle, but where there is no such thing as property and hierarchy. We'll go up there, and we're gonna have a good time. But it's not gonna be any of these people that question me on Reddit. There's gonna be a special detector that zaps those people.
It gets more autocratic every time you talk about it.
Only at the gateway, man. It's like, that's the other thing. You and Camille were calling.
Gateways
like
are
the,
gateways, man.
Yeah, but so you got to affect a change. You got 7 billion people on Earth. They got a system. You're allowed to say, okay, we got to take the right people. We got to engage in some elitism because we're not going to take 7 billion people to the moon. And even if we could, that would just be like, then keep them on Earth and fix the Earth. The idea is that, okay, system's too big. Most of the people down here feel like they're nailing it. Even the people who don't are like, well, no, I don't want to go to the moon. Some people would be willing to go, but you got to pick the right ones to take your best shot at starting over in a right way. So, yes, you are engaging in de facto hierarchy and elitism because somebody's got to actually start the thing. But the goal is to get up there and hand over the reins to the collective.
Did we decide that there was going to be a dome situation, or we were going to terraform it? How are we going to live up
there? Well, I don't know how to terraform. I kind of feel like I...
We should take somebody who knows how to do it.
Yeah. I'm looking at it this way. Like, I don't think I'm not going to give myself credit for knowing how to grow stuff on the moon. Like make an atmosphere. But I've gone swimming with like goggles and stuff, so I understand the basic principles of sealing things off. Like, so I figure. And we have yet to terraform.
I think you're a little cocky on that.
I'm just
you're
saying
giving yourself a lot more credit scientifically than maybe.
I think it's fair to say that if you can figure out how to live underwater, you can figure out how to live on the moon.
Yeah, that's how they train the astronauts.
Yeah. So because both places are I have the identical problem. They need to be airtight. Right?
Yeah.
So we've accomplished both of those things. We have not terraformed anything yet. So I'm just saying like, okay, we've gotten to the moon and we've hung out up there. So I'm saying, can I please get up there and hang out there so that people leave me alone?
Okay.
There will have to be like hydroponic, basil gardens, and so I can garnish.
We'll get Levi on that.
Yeah.
Levi's special carcass fertilizer.
All right, one more question. That'll end this segment. All right, sir, are you there?
What's the worst insult anybody's ever said to your face?
Worst insult anyone's ever said to my face?
Ooh.
That's a good question. I don't want to get it wrong. Like, I don't want to... I remember being really hurt when I was, like, in my 20s, and... I was helping this band load into this bar. Like, it'll take too long to explain why, but and then they were having trouble with like this bouncer or something, and I just made some comment, but I was actually trying to ease the tension between them. Like, the leader of the band was having trouble with the bouncer. Like, there was some misunderstanding about if they were going to get paid or if they were taking the door, something. And I just tried to like make a funny joke while I was like carrying somebody's bass chords or something. And I was like, well, come on, guys, don't fight. And then the bouncer looked at me and was like, what, now you want to start something, Chewbacca? This is gonna really hurt my. I think it's about intent. Like, I think I really felt his like complete disdain. Because who? It's okay to be called Chewbacca. But I think at the time I was like it was like a weird like I probably had an image in my head like I look like John Cusack. And he was like, no, when I look at you, like, with my tiny bouncer brain and improv skills, like, I immediately say Chewbacca. And I'm not a Star Wars fan. Like, I'm a bouncer. Like, so I, like, it's profound. Like, you are Chewbacca.
Yeah.
Which means you're gross. Like, kind of, like, I just see hair and like, animal. I remember that sticks out in my head.
When I was in college, my friend wrote an article for some magazine, his theory being that Chewbacca was the only Latino in the Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
Because his name is Chewie, which is short for like Jesus. He's a mechanic, and these were his, and he's Mexican. This is my friend Andre Soto. He said he's Mexican, and he never fights alone. And And he does have, kind of have like a little mustache. He does have like a, like a kind of, but also, no joke, if you watch the first one, the A New Hope, when the first time they get into the Millennium Falcon and they sit down, no shit, there are gold dice or silver dice. There are there are dashboard dice, and you never see them again. He bumps his head on them when he gets in the first time. And that's the only time. So.
Yeah, I mean, we saw the George Lucas unchecked in the Phantom Menace, and the fucking like ethnic aliens started rolling out like, yeah. Like every planet you went to was like, oh hello, welcome to a Chinidia.
Oh, this is so expensive.
Yeah. Could you know where we can get our car fixed?
I don't know what's in it for me.
I mean, we all saw it.
That movie. As Greg Proops would say, because he was in it, he goes, P-user, to quote Jar Jar.
But there's got to be something better. Like, somebody must have called me something way worse than that. Like,
any, like, you know, not to name him, but like any, like, angry studio heads or coworkers or things like that.
I mean, they don't. You know, they don't do that stuff. They just call human resources.
If you could conjure up what would be the most painful thing for someone to say to you,
it would center around like I have a big soft spot or a sensitive button about pretentiousness. Like, who do you think you are? That area, because I'm from Wisconsin and I grew up with. Like a brother that was like 5 years older than me and was constantly like, he would go like, where the fuck doesn't Daniel have to do his laundry? And my mom would say to my brother, Daniel's special. And my brother would go, no, he's not. And I'd be like, I'm in the room and I'm so uncomfortable. They're both.
Yeah, D.R. Harmon is right here.
Yeah. And so I just I don't like. I had to learn to take compliments over time. Like one of my 80 therapists told me at one point, like, you should, when you deflect a compliment, that actually insults the person that's giving it to you. I figured that out after a while. How to say thank you when someone said you did a good job. But the thing that still terrifies me, like, that's why I can't go to the AV club or anything. Like, is Dan Harmon's Iron Man costume from Comic-Con's for sale, AV club headline. I know, like not to click on that, because I know that the reason they're putting that up there is simply so that like everyone will come there and like leave comments and go, who gives a fuck about this fucking fat asshole shit fuck asshole? And I'm still sensitive about that stuff because I all my identity is caught up in people's perception of me. So it's okay for people to think I'm crazy. It's okay for people to think I'm stupid. It's okay for people to think like all kinds of like that I'm abusive, that I'm, you know, I don't want them to think that I'm a bad person, but when it gets into like people thinking that I am less blank than I think I am, like it really threatens me because it implies that I'm some kind of. It sort of opens the Schrodinger box of my entire identity and goes like this. It's empty. Because the first implication is that I'm a construct of myself. And the second implication is that construct is like Emperor's robes. It's not there anymore. It really kind of terrifies me. Because I guess I must believe that's true. And not want it to be. Right. So it's not like the Chewbaccas or the Hey Fatties. There was a guy outside the Magic Castle that really, he really like. I guess I accidentally, it was on me. Like he was, there was, it was this young guy was like opening the door for all of his family. Like his like grandma walked through and his mom walked through and I kind of like darted through the door like thanks and then he said something real classy or I guess I'm opening the door for everybody. I think that was it. And I just kind of like defensively because I felt I went like, you're gonna be okay, you'll be fine. And then because I said that, he was like, he just like fucking, he I can't, like, he was like, oh, thanks, fatty. At the time, I was not really like thinking of myself as a fat person. So again, like the Chewbacca thing, I was like, what? A fat? That's the first thing? And then I went and looked in the mirror and it was like, yeah, this giant fucking face like dripping over my tux collar. I was wearing a tux because it was the Magic Castle. There was some wedding or something. I can't remember. But I was, yeah, I was like, oh shit, God, that guy really
got married at the Magic Castle?
There was some formal event, and then a thing at the Magic Castle.
Yeah, if you haven't been, don't.
You'll get insulted. It's less magical than you think. They should call it the Hurtful Castle. But he was right. He was right to. I didn't have my fucking Emily Post simulator on. My friends were five people ahead and had already gone through the door, so I was just trying to catch up to them. But in his world, it was like, oh, geez, what am I, the door opening for you guy? And then I was condescending. I should have just said, I am so sorry. Fuck that guy. But remember that guy at Tam O'Shanter?
Yeah.
That guy really, really got me.
What, we were talking too loud or you're using salty language or something like that?
I don't like being told shut up. Like, I mean, sometimes that'll just make me angry, but like also just the idea that I talk too much, that I'm a loud mouth.
What was
like,
the exchange? Like, a representative from his table came over, right? Or didn't...
No, it was him. He sat there the whole time. Jeff and I were having a good time. I think we told this story on this podcast, but what haven't we told? We were sitting there in this restaurant and kind of having a couple beers, a summer day. Like just out with some friends and like just kind of living the summer life like in this quasi fancy restaurant in Las Feliz, and there was this table with this guy and these two elderly women, and he kept one of them looked over, I think, at one point, which is why I made sure that we weren't really being that obnoxious at a certain point, but I guess we were. I guess we use profanity sometimes when we communicate.
I was telling like a loud story that might have gotten a little over.
And the guy waited the whole lunch instead of just like going like, if this is your demand, like, hey, we have demands over here, like you're encroaching on our ability to eat our toad in the hole or whatever. He waited the whole thing, settled the whole bill, and then stopped on the way out and went to the three of us, said, hey, if you guys are going to talk like you're in a truck stop, why don't you go eat in one? And then kept walking, and then I blurted out because I got so flustered. This is me at my wittiest when I'm actually under the gun. I went, hey, well, if you're going to tell people what to do, I should go back to Germany. To which he replied, yeah, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, and, like,
and
no,
I was like,
no,
what?
No.
Truck stop! Get back!
Truck stop! He was mad he couldn't talk like a truck stop.
Yeah, because he's clearly like under the thumb of his like mom's inheritance or something. Like who eats with two old ladies?
And then, if I recall, the next two hours to maybe 3 days was spent with the esprit d'escalier, like coming up with the perfect retorts for that guy.
People in restaurants, I can't, you know, in LA when you go to these restaurants and they go, can we get a table for two? And they're like, yeah, of course we can. When the answer is no, they can't. Because their restaurant is 5 feet wide. They should just say, no, we can't seat you. And you know what? We have too many tables in here. We should get rid of a couple so it's a comfortable place. Instead, they fucking jam these goddamn Logan's Run fucking tables together as if it is as human at all to eat closer to a stranger than the person that you came to dinner with. The insanity of these places. Like you go, and then the thing that's even more insane than that is when they sit you in these places, and the thing that blows my fucking mind is when the people next to you who are in the same horrible situation can't have the fucking like human righteousness to go, oh, I guess we're all just prisoners of war in this shitty place. Let's all rise above it by ignoring each other. When the people like, next to you, like you're talking to your friend, you're having an intimate conversation. I'm a hyperbolic guy. I might compare seasons of TV shows to unsavory things. I'll I'll grab my God-given word power to make my point. I won't do it loudly. I'll do it effectively. And there's like a certain combination of words. And then every fucking time I eat in one of these places where you're close to starving, somebody always looks over and goes like, "That's actually really not really offensive, but like this, they'll just go like, oh, excuse me, I did improv for years. I was in UCB. Like, what was I? What you said? Improv was you know, bullshit. I said I was in a bullshit improv troupe. When I was like, what the fuck am I talking to you for? I mean, what the fuck was are that? You? Are you out of your mind? Was that? Oh! I'm sorry, sir. Was I rude to you? What are you doing? I'm eating and talking to my friend. What are you doing? I was on a date with a girl at a fancy restaurant, and we were it was like a first or second date, and we were exchanging like philosophies. We were getting to know each other philosophically, spiritually. You know, she was an atheist, it turned out, and I was like, well, I would never bother to commit to that club, and but I understand, and she's like, yeah, I understand. People need religion sometimes to, you know, it gives them meaning and that whole thing. And I'm like, well, there is that kind of aspect of it. I think that religion connects people with the unknown, and that's the primary thing. But it has come to be a sort of a crutch for some people, I guess, to put it very basely, like this sort of background notion in our heads that if you get cancer, it's your fault or something like that. And I just like and I kept talking, and then this fucking woman over here was like I saw her head cock. So now and then she starts leaning into her friend. So these two elderly women, and then I keep talking to my date. Now I have to put 20% of my attention on the lady next to me, because she leans over to her friend and she goes, "Did you hear what he said?" And the other woman, and my date has no idea that I'm now listening to them, and I'm just going uh-huh and listening to them, and then the other woman goes, "No, what did he say?" So anyways, when I got my master's degree, I just decided I wanted to focus on he said, "If you get cancer, it's your fault." Oh, so I'm hearing this. I'm horrified that I'm hearing this, and so I'm on the date, and the person is expressing himself and getting to know me, and I go, yeah, I was like, excuse me for a second, I'm sorry, that's not what I said, and the look on the woman's face, at this barbaric action on my part, that I she was like, I beg your pardon?
She said, Chewbacca?
I said, I overheard, I can hear you talking about what I was talking about, and you quoted me out of context, and little did I know that would be the story of my life, but I was talking about religion with my friend. I was using hyperbolic metaphors and things, and I don't think it's people's fault when they get cancer. And she's like, oh, well, I didn't know that you could hear me. And I was like, well, you know, it's a, I didn't want you to hear me. It's a very small restaurant. They seat people very close. So I guess there's a financial reason behind that. But we are both the victims. I survived cancer. So I mean, this is very inconvenient for all of us. Like I'm on a date. And that's not surviving cancer, but it's also like a. It's also a thing that I want to be hooked into, you know, and like, have you guys met? Want to just shove the tables together? And it was a fucking nightmare. It happens every time I go out to eat, unless I do the thing that I've learned to do, which makes me a curmudgeon and not as fun to go out to eat with. I walk into a restaurant. If that is the situation, I go, no, we're not eating here. And that now my problems are over. But I don't know why I'm telling you this.
I was at a restaurant years ago. It was an Italian restaurant. I was sitting at a little outdoor sidewalk area having dinner by myself, which I like to do. And I was sitting there, and there's a couple on a first date, or not a first date, but they're a young couple dating, and they were talking. I, you know, we were very close together. I could hear every word they're saying because, like, I have ears on that side of my head, and I have multiple ears. And they were talking just regular, you know, just chit chat. And then another couple walks into the restaurant that they know, and the woman, the young girl goes, young lady goes, she's like, "Oh my God! Like, so-and-so, like, oh my God, what are you doing?" I know, I never come here. It's so ironic that you're here. I go, coincidence. And actually, I think it was close enough that I actually kind of did the incredibly me thing of the hand on the table, coincidence. Like, and I think I actually had my fork like in my mouth, coincidence. And the guy goes, "Whoa, whoa, whoa." The guy that was the date was just like, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa." I go, it's not ironic. Like, bro, that's not cool. It's like, I'm sitting right here, man. Like, if you got problems about that, like, get your fucking ducks in a row, man. Like, fucking. And then the other couple came, like they thought we knew each other because it seemed like we were old pals. And I was like, I'm not going to fucking be bashful about that at all. I completely sunk their dates. It was the best.
Well,
I know that makes me an asshole, but fucking. I think I said this before, like, if you are watching sports or if you're watching news where they're improvising, like there's a high-speed chase where they're going off prompter and they're having to riff, if you hear the word, you know, it's ironic, 100% chance there's going to be no irony in the pursuant sentences, and it drives me fucking mad.
All right, well, I mean, I'm a victim in my restaurant stories.
I know. I'm more of a victim because I have to sit around you people.
All right, well, let's...
Are you shoe wearers?
Why don't we bring up Aaron McGathy so that we can...
Aaron?
Oh, she's probably peeing or something. If I know her...
She's taking a shit.
We're both cleansing. She's probably in the bathroom. Let's bring up Spencer Crittenden instead.
Spencer Crittenden! Aaron's taking a poo. She's down in the toilet doing what ladies sometimes have to do.
Hello. Sorry. Cleanse. Having to pee constantly.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not drinking a lot of water on this cleanse.
Oh, you should.
Well, when I do, I have to pee every 7 minutes.
Yeah.
And it really is actually getting in the way of work. I'm not kidding. Like I actually just go, okay, I'll just be a little more dehydrated and just have the liquid kale thing.
Right. Well, it's mostly water, so I think you're okay health-wise. It's exciting to talk to you. I haven't seen you, really.
It's true.
So I feel very, like, it's butterfly. I feel nervous.
It's like a date. I hope no one overhears our conversation.
Coincidence.
Spencer, how are you?
I'm good, and I'm also getting adequate hydration.
How are you liking being my assistant?
It's good. I feel like I'm doing a terrible job, but I think I'm doing okay.
How would you grade his performance thus far, Dan?
You know, A plus, I guess. I mean,
really?
Yeah. Anything lower would be to imply that I needed something that I wasn't getting, and if I needed something, I'd ask you for it because you paid to get it for me.
Sounds like you could use a piss boy. Someone could wrangle your pee for you.
Oh yeah, maybe.
We could figure it out.
You could.
I got zip ties.
If you want to, if you want to do something. The to make yourself feel like a better assistant.
Uh-huh.
Here we go.
Well, no, this is something that I feel bad asking an assistant to do. But now that it's disguised as entertainment, but I can't because I just like my car is like the inside of it, the passenger side, the floor. It's just garbage. It's just a garbage can.
So it can all go?
I think there might be a couple Dungeons and Dragons books down there or something.
I don't know. Save the books.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, like
the clothes too, probably, right?
Save the clothes.
Okay.
What should we play a hefty, hearty round of Dungeons and Dragons?
Yeah! Let's do it.
I listened to last week's show. And I was playing it in a room and like picking things up, and I jaw dropped at the show to the extent that I walked over to the mirror to like witness my own expression on my face. it was a great show.
Yeah.
See how fun it is.
Yeah. I'm glad we got it out of our system. We had our show.
I was gushing about it earlier. I loved it. It was really fun to listen to. And I love the skeletons and all of it. It was great. You guys did great. Anatoly sounded very sad to be playing my character.
Yeah, Anatoly, what was up that last week? Were you a little out of it?
I was a little sleepy because I'm going to Rocky Horror Show like every week. It's on Sunday night.
You're going to record a show?
A Rocky Horror Show.
A Rocky Horror
Show?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Whoa.
So like I'm back at home like at 4.
Are you in the Rocky Horror Show?
No, I just...
You just go?
Watching. Yeah.
You go to the Rocky Horror Picture Show every week?
Yep. It's in Santa Monica.
And people get up and do all the crazy stuff?
Yep. It's pretty fun.
Did you have that in Russia?
Nope. No, just I like this movie. Like I was on in France and in London, at least, like, and stuff like that. So like I really love it. So like yeah, I perform like at 4 a.m. So
right.
And like last Sunday, like I was up at 8 a.m. and I decided that I want to go to Farmer's Market to Santa Monica again, like 2 hours on bus and 2 hours back. So like I went there and then I come home. So it was around, I don't know, like 2 or 3 p.m. So I just fell asleep and come to Hermantown after that. So yeah, that's why I was not.
Now
really
I'm drowsy.
All right. Give Aaron her mic back, for God's sake.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Anatoly. But thank you for playing Mulrain. You did a bully
yes,
job.
Yes, thank you. I discovered Rocky Horror when I was in high school. That was a big turning point for me. Mm-hmm. Getting out of the little suburban house and going downtown Milwaukee on Saturday night. Getting my curfew extended, seeing people like be gay and stuff.
What character did you want to play?
I was terrified at the prospect.
But if you had to, like, was there one that you're like, I could, that guy?
Well, I would have been anybody that wasn't like as flamboyant or cross-dressy, because I probably was like suppressing like this, like my friend in high school, like he ended up joining the show, and I was always like, what, how the fuck, like that's insane. I mean, I was just like I was you know 16, 17 years old, and I was like, I don't even think I had like smoked pot or anything by that time. It's like maybe, you know, drank beers and stuff in basements. But these were grown-ups and like crazy people, and it was downtown, and God knows what they would get up to at their apartments or backstage. Like I just remember looking at them as if they were like these crazy. They might as well have been Prince or Boy George or like David Copperfield.
I only went to it once. I had a really bad experience with it. I was with Matt Gourley and some friends in Santa Barbara or something. We were like, oh, let's go see that movie. We didn't know that there was a big, you know, to-do, and people put on the show, and there's all this interaction and stuff. But when we found out, oh, this is cool, this is weird. And but there was a thing when they asked, like, there was a couple of really dodgy, not to be mean, but just to describe them, some really creepy, frail, syphilitic old queens that were running it, and they're like, "Are there any virgins out there?" And I was like, it's like a lot of people were virgins to Rocky Horror, but they didn't raise their hands. I did, and I was taken up on stage like Fay Wray and King Kong, and all of the men and their little speedos and their little like dingy, sweaty, like not been washed ever, like spandex and like lingerie and like hairy legs with garters and stockings on. They all stood with their legs apart like in a line, and I had to lay down. Like, I was laid down on the stage with my arms out and my feet obviously out, and they all straddled me, like three or four or five of these guys. And then two other guys picked me up by the hands and feet and just, like, rammed me up into their dicks and balls. Just, like, kind of just like, kaboom, kaboom. And just old syphilitic cock and balls and ass and garters.
Now, that's not an origin story.
No.
That's how he got his psychic powers? So.
He went home and there was a suit hanging in his closet mysteriously. Yeah.
I think there's a way to do that and make it fun for the guy that's getting it done.
It was a big threshold though, because it was there was a lot of that going on. I think every company that does Rocky Horror, that's like part of their function ceremonially. You know, there was the guy that plays Frankenfurter. You know, is going to be this big flamboyant like covered in makeup. Fishnets, like outgoing, like dude who's like challenging your sexuality while you're in line, and then like dragging people up, and the whole company is like, man, I'm on the fringe. And this is like the East Side, fucking art town, and the terror of and then the most important thing, like going through those moments and being afraid of like what might happen, and then realizing like any haunted house or anything, that physical contact with people that don't do the same things you do or dress the same way you do doesn't actually, there's nothing, you know, it doesn't, you wake up the next morning and now you're just cooler. Nothing happened. You're not gayer. You're not, unless you want to be, you're in full control of everything the whole time. Like nobody has needles in their hands. Nobody.
These guys are pretty scary. It was touch and go. a lot of touch. Heavy on the touch.
But I remember walking down the halls of my high school, you know, the following Mondays, like just feeling like I had graduated something, you know. It was like, I bet my posture changed a little bit. Somehow it changed back in the interim, but it was a valuable service provided at the local downtown independent movie theaters in our little small towns. There's little kids like me. Where are you going to go to see a Tarantino movie back before Tarantino was an Oscar winner and stuff? But thank God.
Did you were you called up as a virgin? Did you do that, Anatoly?
No.
Every answer to every question is so sleepy and sad. No.
Yeah. All right. It's also weird too now to think that like you can probably get on YouTube and just watch Rocky Horror Picture Show. I'm sure you can certainly get on DVD. Back then it was like the first question that people would have, because like you go in and you yell out stuff on cue. It was always like the idea that there was such a thing as a script for the movie. Or a copy of it that you could watch and practice or something. That was unheard of. It was such a mystical thing. You had to go to this theater to see this movie.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I probably have the same experience that a lot of people do when they go to see Rocky Horror. I thought that like the people that I was seeing it with for the first time had come up with all those things and thought they were all so cool. And I'm sure afterwards, because I do this, if I watch a performance that I really like, I was probably like, that was really clever. Those callbacks were really, really good. Good. Bet they've been around for years and years.
Me and my friends, we'd try to start new stuff. It's kind of a sad effort. And it's just random stuff. Like we would pick a spot in the movie where we'd just yell out, Charlie Brown! And see if it took off.
Did you get any?
I think we got a couple nibbles. But they're probably just new people who came the previous week and heard Charlie Brown, and somehow it stuck. You know, nothing ever took off. It was a dumb experiment. I was 17 years old. All right.
All right, Spencer, shall we get this underway?
Yeah.
All right. Hold on.
New sheets.
Last time on Harmontown. After bargaining for the life of Sharpie Butzalot from the Fornheim, the frozen city, more specifically the Jarl of Fornheim, you left the city and put on a show in the blizzard.
All right.
Kill the music.
Oh, that's it?
That's all that happened.
Okay. Spencer, everybody. Short and sweet.
Well, a lot's going to happen tonight, my friend.
Well,
let's hope so.
Yeah?
So you guys are in an icy, icy canyon. You walked in there because it was the only way through.
And Mulrain cast Resist Elements.
Yeah.
So we're good to go.
Yep.
All right, so let's press on and keep going through this canyon and see what goes. Do we need someone to play Krista Berg, or should we go without? Huh?
Whatever you guys want.
Dan's making poopy face.
No, you pick somebody. I just can't bear to be the picker.
Huh?
First hand that shot up. Okay.
I forgot. Tyler? Tyler's going to help us out.
Hello.
Hello.
I was tempted. I saw Levi's hand go up too. That might have been a good way to go too.
Either way.
Yeah. Hello, Tyler. Welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
All right. So let's walk down the canyon.
Yeah, you do.
What a show.
you were kind of light in it. You didn't really. I would have thought when we started that show that you would have really dove in, but you didn't really do anything.
She was a rapt audience member the entire time.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I got really overwhelmed. I was so excited. I got in my head. I had so many things that I wanted to do, and then I just got really sleepy. It was great.
I sang my first new song since Lady in Red. I don't even know if you remember.
Yeah.
It was a great, beautiful
I remember
song.
It was.
What was it called again? What was the title?
Jeez, I don't even remember the name of the song. It slipped my mind. It was a moment of beauty that just passed and it's gone.
Make up a title.
The Daughter of Blue.
The Daughter of Blue is a good song. It's a good song.
All right, let's press on.
You hear footsteps behind you crunching in the snow.
Is that you guys?
No. It's not.
That's behind all of us. I'm behind you, and I heard it from behind me, and I'm the last one.
Is he in the rear?
Yeah, I'm in the rear, and that's
all right. I turn all the way around.
Turning all the way around, you see among the ice and snow a familiar gnoll named Yurch.
Yurch!
He's
Yurch.
Like, hey, guys.
Hey.
I kind of disappeared around that Frozen City thing, but I'm back. We're going north, right?
Hell yeah.
Who could forget Yurch?
Who could forget Yurch?
He's the pee one, right? The one that smells like pee all the time?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right.
What species is he?
He's a gnoll.
A gnoll, right. Oh, gnoll, yeah, pee gnoll. Okay. Yurch, yay!
I'm just saying, you know, I was scouting. You guys were going the wrong way, by the way.
All right.
Were we not supposed to talk to the giants?
No, I mean, just in this canyon, you must have got turned around. But I just came back from scouting ahead. They have this big black gate. It's crazy. It's full of demons and shit.
So we shouldn't be going towards the black gate?
Well, I mean, we should, right? We got to kill them.
Yeah.
Let's go to that gate.
But we got to be careful.
Okay.
All right.
You guys go ahead.
You're not coming?
I mean, I'll stay in the back.
Okay.
I'll be careful.
All right.
You all right, Yurch?
I mean, yeah, it's just another day.
I wonder,
where have you been? We haven't seen you. I know that you were assigned to follow us, and I just haven't seen you in so long.
You know, frost giants can stomp on you.
I haven't heard. We had no experience with that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't know that you got stomped on personally, but I'm sure that's true.
I want to take a sidebar with my friends.
I'll be over here.
To the extent that I ever knew Yurch, like, I just don't think that this is Yurch. He's acting really weird.
Right.
Are you saying you think all gnolls look the same?
No.
Who has good good perception? Not me.
Or some kind of no. Don't one of you guys have like a no intention or whatever? Detect intention, sense motive.
Sense
thank
motive.
You.
Yeah,
thank
I don't
you.
Have.
I have 0 points in sense motive.
Good.
Oh, I have 9 points in it, but zero.
I'm a sensitive person.
All right, Spencer, I have 9 points in sense motive. I can try to see if he's up to anything fancy.
He doesn't seem to be up to anything.
What'd you roll?
I rolled a 4.
All right, can
he
I?
He seems like he's on the level. I don't know.
I'm gonna cast detect thoughts on him.
You detect his thoughts.
What's he thinking?
These guys sure are looking at me strange.
What'd you get, Sharpie?
I just... It's Yurch.
Okay. Yurch, how many demons are at this big black gate?
Like 7.
Hmm. And that's on the far side of that is going to be Admiral Darkstar, we're hoping, right?
Behind the gate lies the Black Keep.
Yeah. All right, guys. We didn't come this far to turn around now. I'm feeling pretty energized from that show.
Absolutely.
I think group morale is at an all-time high.
It was a great show.
It's an all-time high. Let's go.
That's a nice skeleton army you got, by the way.
Oh, I forget. Oh, yeah, we got those guys, too. We're good. We're good. Thank you, Yurch. Yeah.
But at what cost?
Yeah, what cost? That's true.
Do you think that maybe there's a demand for this show as a run?
Yeah, I think it was a one-off.
Yeah.
Wasn't our only audience those flying things that were coming
from
the
sky? Yeah, there were some mosquitoes or some gnats that watched it. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's to the gate.
Yeah, we get. I mean,
do I have Coco?
Yeah.
I get on Coco.
Do you think that Molly, what the hell is your name? We're playing 3 different D&D games.
I'm so confused.
I'm Quark.
Quark. Do you think you could scout ahead maybe and
okay.
I'm going to send Avenger up.
Do you
see
maybe
how far
want
they...
someone who has stealth to go first and check it out?
Yeah, he's stealthier than me. He's a rogue.
Yeah. First, I'm going to send Avenger. Avenger, fly up. I just want to get a distance. I don't want to talk to Yurch about it. Like he's. I think he's high. So I'm going to send Avenger to see how far the Black Gates are.
You send Avenger up into the sky, but after a moment or two, he returns. He gives you a look that says, "It's snowing. It's too hard to see from up here. I'm not used to this kind of climate. It's cold." It's a very subtle look.
Richly nuanced.
Yeah. I almost thought it was going to be a rap. a lot of cadence to that. All right. Well, why don't you stealth types scout ahead?
Okay. I don't know.
I'll go with you.
You want to go with me?
Yeah. All right.
Just stay a little bit behind.
Christopher and I walk ahead, and I have my sword out, you know, at the ready.
The two of you go ahead down this icy canyon, and you round an icy bend, and you see it. The Black Gate, it extends maybe 100 feet tall, and you can see about 4 levels of catwalks that are kind of strung together by these metal stairs.
Oh.
Standing stairs. On the catwalks, kind of patrolling around, are black armored dudes, as well as these beardy demons and devils that you kind of saw and fought with at a yellow camp.
How many of them are there?
There's 7 demons, and you count 1, 2, 4 human guys, well, armored guys.
And then 3 of the bearded demon types?
No, there's 7 demons and then 4 guys.
Okay.
All right. Chris, any reason why we were sent ahead to go do this and the whole crew couldn't come?
So that they don't see everybody. I mean, they're patrolling and they see.
Okay. I go back and I report to you guys that I give them the info, the recon.
Catwalks, you say?
Catwalks.
Stairs?
Yeah, it's kind of like a stage production of West Side Story. You know, it's like lots like kind of like, a, it's like or like Rent. It's like a big fire escapey kind of thing.
So they've got the high ground. I wonder if there's any way we could get up there so that we're not walking under them. Maybe we can pick off a couple of them before we fully engage.
Or maybe destroy the stairs and make the catwalks fall.
We should probably go before our sizable skeleton army goes forward. Maybe pick a couple of them off and then. You know, so they don't have enough time to escape.
And then call the cavalry in. Yeah, all right.
Gentlemen, maybe I can use my tree token. I have a tree token.
What?
Tree token. I have a tree token.
What does that do?
Tree token. If I throw it on the ground, a tree will grow.
Okay. Are we gonna
tree token?
Hide behind the tree.
We could climb the tree. Or I sheepishly take my tree token and put it back in my pocket. Stupid.
I appreciate the effort.
What's on the sides of the gate? What's flanking this gate?
Well, it's just like wedged into the ice.
Oh, into the canyon.
Yeah.
And there's no way to climb the walls of the canyon?
Not unless you have climbing spikes. I think that's what they're called, right?
Would it be a lame waste of the skeletons to just do the old... saunter out there, go, hey, fuck you guys, and run back and just stand behind the skeletons? I mean...
All right.
I think that's
wouldn't,
a fine idea.
Wouldn't they call reinforcements, though, if they see a couple of us go, hey, we're here?
Yeah, they might open the gate and
they
bring out
go,
a bunch of...
There's... We should send more people.
No, but he's saying, like wave and, like we'll moon them and we'll show them our ass, and then they'll all come... Those guys at the gate will just think it's a couple of people and they'll come running, and they'll come over there and they'll be the cast of Ben-Hur will be there.
Right. Well, and we could instruct our skeletons to lie on the ground like it's a... Like they're fallen soldiers.
Maybe someone who has bluff could be like... There's only a couple of us. We're just hanging out, having a good time. Yeah, it's just an act. We don't have an army of skeletons over here.
I say we just advance. I say we just come in there and kick these guys' ass.
Fireball.
Yeah.
Fireball.
Let's give them everything we got. Let's just come in, just fucking.
I'm that exhausted. Yeah. I've been solving problems all day. I think we'll just we'll just blunt force it.
All right. So.
So who's taking lead then?
I'll go forward first. Before, I'm on my horse.
Before the skeletons, or
well, at the very least, like why don't we just one preliminary? I mean, let me just do this. I've always wanted to do this. I'll just walk. Well, I'm just gonna walk around the bend and
okay.
And I go like, hey, you guys got change for a dollar? My wife and I, we need change for a dollar.
Also, look at this tree. Poof.
All the guys on the wall kind of like turn towards you and they're looking at you, and the bearded devils kind of hold out their arms and they start to be wreathed with flames.
All right. See you. I'll be over here. Bye. And then I retreat like a coward.
Okay.
And I walk to behind the skeleton army. And I read a book.
You hear the crunching of footfalls, and then the four armored men are upon you. They've managed to scramble down this gate and chase you guys down to where you guys are.
I general the skeletons into kind of a Thermopylae, you know, Spartan kind of thing to close off the pass, you know.
Okay. Nice. They seal off the pass, but these guys are approaching.
Right.
You're going to let them clash?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Do the demons see the 40 skeletons and it's like, fuck it, we're going to keep going?
Yeah, you know.
Okay.
They don't give a fuck.
They're very confident.
They're just demons.
What does my power bracelet do?
It just gives you +2 strength.
Okay.
It's included on your stat block.
Yeah, okay.
Fun rules. All right. You see your skeleton army kind of engage with the enemy. These human guys in armor kind of clash, and the skeletons are actually really... well-trained and magical and cool and stuff, but two of them managed to just slice the two of the guys in half.
Yeah.
And the other three don't manage to do as well, and they just kind of poke at these armored guys, but only 5 can get in right now. But then the rest kind of have them surrounded. And the armored guys see that they're going to lose, but the skeletons aren't going for the final blow right now. They're just surrounding them.
All right. I jump in with my flaming sword and attack the nearest armored guy.
With your flaming sword, you jump into the fray, but you trip over a femur of one of the skeleton swords.
So these guys are alive and are kind of like at the sword points of our skeleton emissaries?
The skeletons are kind of waiting.
Gentlemen... Looks like you're in a skeleton situation. Fuck!
You're a liar!
We can't use Bon Voyage again.
Tell us, where's the back door?
What?
Is there another entrance to the temple?
I mean, what?
You're asking me.
It's a gate. It's not a temple.
Yeah.
A gate. The fuck you guys.
Harmon Quest ended.
Well, we're going to Admiral Darkstar's fortress.
Yep.
Is there another way in?
Oh, the only way is through this gate. Or if you have climbing equipment, you could climb up the canyon and then go around this gate. Or you could wait for this gate to open.
What is it open for?
You know, large traffic.
We're large traffic.
Like a bus?
Maybe.
A bus.
Let's keep killing these guys. We're just standing around talking.
Yeah, you're.
I thought maybe they
have we gotten any useful information out of them? They said no, go through the gate.
Large traffic. That's arguably useful.
All right, skeletons forward.
Are you gonna kill the guys?
Does large traffic come through here often? Can we like wait and like hitch a ride like behind a wagon and like sneak our way in? I don't think we could sneak an army.
You know who waits? Cowards.
Fine.
Fools.
Whatever. I shoot an arrow at a skeleton.
Let's kick some ass.
Do you sarcastically shoot an arrow at a skeleton?
Whatever.
The skeletons dispatch the remaining guys, and you continue on towards the gate.
Yeah.
Good.
Good job, skeletons.
As you approach the gate, you hear loud sounds. They sound kind of like what sirens would sound like if you knew what sirens were.
Get out of the way!
This is definitely magical in nature, but at the same time, you see the gate, it grows. It doesn't grow. A split kind of develops in its middle, and it swings open like a giant door, and standing in that giant door is one of the largest ogres you've ever seen, almost 40 feet tall, with a small metal platform on his back, and you see kind of dudes standing on this platform on his back, holding crossbows. As ogre starts lumbering through the gate.
He's got a sniper perch on his back.
Yeah, we got. Let's throw some magic at this guy right off the bat.
Yeah, when I get to go, I'll shoot a fireball at him.
You get to go.
Fireball.
Say it with a little more gusto, man.
Fireball.
All right. Where do you aim it? Like at the guy or at the platform? Or
I'm aiming it at the. Would I be able to hit the guys on the platform?
Yeah, if you aim towards it, but it would be like away from his center of mass, I guess.
Yeah, well, I'll aim for the platform.
Yeah, okay. That's what I assumed, by the way, for all you podcast listeners. yeah, so you do that. You throw your fireball in it. Arcs up over the guy's shoulder right onto the metal platform where these snipers are stationed, and it explodes, and you see, you know, two corpses just fly off.
Yeah! Woo!
The rest of the guys take 7 fire damage.
Fucking yeah.
It's not... Nice. I mean, yeah.
How many of them are up on that platform?
You don't know because it's such a large platform.
I don't have any ranged weapons. I can't really throw. I can't really get them from a distance.
I have a short bow. I can.
Is it my turn?
I want to see a tree too, you guys.
Adam Goldberg suggested this. I'm going to throw it out there. He said, "Plant the tree under the ogre's nuts and have a tree grow up into it. A tree grow up his butt.
The old tree dick maneuver."
That's called the Jolly Roger, isn't it?
Yeah. That's
the
Jolly. That's what it is. Yeah.
God, I wish we were 15 minutes later. That would have been at the end of the show.
All right. Well, how close can I get to the ogre?
You'd be able to get to where it was standing if you ran.
Okay.
But not if you walked.
Well, I'm on Coco. I gallop over to the ogre. I look over at Sharpie. I give him a wink. Something's about to happen. I gallop up to the ogre right between his legs. I reach for my quiver for a second, and then I'm like, no, just do this. I take my token and I throw it at the ground between his legs, and I say, "Who's the sap now?" I'd like to see Dur you die. Maple tree. So I do that.
You thrust the tree token into the soft snow, and then before your various eyes?
My various eyes.
Before your various sensory organs, a tree springs into being. It grows in girth as well as length as it reaches its final height, which is somewhere between this ogre's midsection. It smashes him right through the pelvis.
Well done.
and he takes 20 damage.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
I thank the very clever little witty back braced angel on my shoulder.
At the moment, he can't move. His legs are kind of too far from the ground to move at the moment.
Awesome.
So he's like a popsicle right now? Like, oh, shit.
Like a popsicle.
All right.
Who's up?
Throw it to Tyler.
All right. Let's see. So I want to get the rest of these snipers out of the way so we don't have to worry about them. So we can just worry about this big, slow ogre. Amulet of Autumn can become invisible for 5 rounds twice a day. I want to use that to get behind him so I can pick the rest of the guys off.
Activating your Amulet of Autumn, you gain invisibility.
All right.
What was it? You wanted to get behind him?
I want to see if I can get kind of behind where the ogre... Ogre came out of the gate, right?
You can do that.
Okay, I'm gonna get behind him.
You do that.
All right. And I'm going to take a shot with my short bow at one of the remaining guys up there.
Yeah. You strike the guy directly in the... Not directly in the shoulder. Indirectly in the shoulder. He takes 7 damage.
Nice.
Did you add the 1d10?
4.
It says I get 1d10 damage.
Oh, yeah. No. Thanks for reminding me.
You're welcome.
Hey, man, I don't have to learn all the rules.
That's I'm helping.
I'm just telling everyone. That's why it's literally written on the sheets. So I don't have to memorize everything. Anyway, that's an extra 7 damage. So I said 7. 14 damage.
Yeah.
What's the damage to the player-dungeon master relationship?
I mean, the relationship?
No, moving on. Just go.
It's dead.
It's purely platonic.
Anyway.
Who's up?
Not the ogre. It's your turn.
I take a flaming far sword and swipe at the chest of the ogre. Is the far sword long enough to do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's far.
Flaming far sword, swipe.
Swinging your flaming sword, you unleash a crackling arc, whatever, of windy, flaming energy, and it strikes him, does it? Yeah, it strikes him directly in the chest.
Yeah.
Yeah, the chestal regions. Dealing.
That's 1d10 plus 1d6 plus 4.
Plus 4?
Yeah.
10 damage.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, you're right to applaud that.
He seems a little worse for wear, and then, you know, you see a couple of the snipers remaining take their positions at the edge of his thing, and they fire down on you with crossbow bolts. Yeah. So, Sharpie, you get hit with one of these bolts. And as it strikes you, you feel caustic burn as acid seeps into your skin. You take 5 burning damage.
You made him make a poopy face.
Acid will do that to you. The other arrow misses. But then the ogre starts striding towards you.
He's off the tree?
Yeah. Like he's kind of... starts striding towards you. Like that.
All right.
Yeah. But I mean, it took all that effort to get off, so that's it. That's it for him.
That's his turn. I love it.
Did the tree go up his butt, or
no? It just kind of well, you want to be technical. It caught him right in the taint.
Right.
There is a bit of like wooden penetration, just not like that. Like a thorn getting rammed up to your taint might break the skin. It was like that.
Taint the butt.
He's moved past it.
But that's like his prostate muscle, right? Like,
yeah, no, he's coming loads.
You guys, that's not snow.
We just made an ogre come. By ramming a magical tree into his taint.
I put that on my resume.
Does he get sleepy?
No.
Does he want to take a little nap?
No.
Does he want nothing to do with us now?
Should we just leave? We should just leave, right?
I mean, you know, he's pissed.
I asked him about his feelings.
Is it Sharpie's turn?
Yeah.
Jeez.
That's whose turn it is. I mean.
I'm just gonna cast Fireball on this ogre again.
Okay.
Actually, I'm gonna cast it on that platform. I don't want to get shot with any more arrows.
There's still two left up there, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You throw your fireball. Again, it whizzes right over the ogre's shoulder before impacting and exploding on the thing. I think it was a platform. You see flaming corpses fall off the side. Two of them.
You all right. You got it.
Hell yeah.
Clear platform!
Roger.
All right. I wipe off my face with a rag that's in my pocket, and I was standing.
He came
there.
On you.
I was standing there. I only assumed.
Well, he was wearing pants in my mind. I just,
oh, okay.
He didn't just come out with a raging boner.
I don't understand. I mean, why would he come just because his prostate got pierced?
You don't know ogre anatomy, man. I want to know more about this ogre's pants.
Yeah.
What is a smart ogre wearing these days?
Well, this is no smart ogre, but I mean, just standard burlap, kind of.
Okay.
Just stitched together.
Just now filled with cum.
Yeah. You can see it kind of. You know, burlap's not.
Right, well,
it's meshy.
It's a porous material.
Yeah, exactly.
I only wipe off my face because it's covered in perspiration because I've been riding my horse. I'm going to I take out my my speedy longbow. Yeah, and I whip it around in front of me, or whatever you call the action of putting it in the position of shooting it, and
knock an arrow.
Sorry?
You knock the arrow.
I knock the arrow. I'm going to knock a fiery arrow at the ogre's face. And so I do that.
You launch a fiery arrow right in the ogre's face. And it strikes right there. Dealing 6 fire damage.
Nice.
Nice.
Go get him to Berg.
All right. So this tree that kind of grew up into him, he hopped off it, but like the tree is still mostly in shape.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You want to jump on?
I kind of want to get on the tree and then leap onto him.
Go for it.
I want to do that. Let's do that.
You're invisible right now, right?
I shot an arrow, so I broke invisibility, unfortunately.
Yep.
Every time.
Whatever. He's worried about you. You shot a firing arrow in his face and knocked his prostate, so he's like, I'm after you.
You know what, Chris?
He's not worried about me.
I follow your heart. More analytical this week than you are normally. Just go there.
Strangely.
Can we hear a couple of lines with the Daughter of Blue before you go up there?
Her hands are so small. I don't know.
Yeah, that's enough. I just wanted to.
I know. I want to hear the rest of this thought. And I want to know if we're learning about Tyler's sexuality.
So small. I'd like to climb the tree. Is that? Can we do that?
Yeah, you climb the tree.
Okay. I'm assuming I'm not going to have any leftover thing to do anything besides climb the tree this round.
Well, yeah.
I always try to push it.
You just take position up in this tree.
Can I get ready? Can I get into a fierce crouch with my poison dagger out? Like,
well, I'd assume.
Okay. I'm in a fierce crouch.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, I am.
Fiercely crouching in a tree, you wait for your next turn.
We're good.
I run at him and do a power attack with my sword at his Achilles tendon.
Hacking at his Achilles tendon with your flaming sword, you do so. Dealing 12 damage.
Yeah!
He kind of falls down to one leg.
Now he's just lower for him in the tree.
Maybe I can jump onto his back and climb onto his head and just start stabbing him.
Awesome,
his ear.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
Well, it's his turn. He reaches down and swats at you, Quark, who's stabbing at his knees.
Achilles tendon.
Whatever. Those. Isn't that where those are?
No, that was below your calf.
I took classes. No, it's a... Yeah, I know where the... It's in the taint. But he fumbles around. He has a hard time, you know, grabbing at you since you're so tiny.
Yeah.
And he doesn't.
Sweet.
So he gropes about but fails.
He's got a big load in his drawers right now.
He's got a lot to deal with.
He's got a big cut in his chest. He's on fire. He's got a sliced heel.
Yeah, tree to the
We're
ass.
Sending the most confusing signals right now.
Poor guy just had the biggest orgasm of his life.
Putting it at Sharpie's turn.
I want to use my arm. No, I don't. I don't want to use my armlet. Can I just cast Fireball on his face again?
What level are you? No, you only have 2 level 3 spells, I think.
All right.
God sorry, everybody.
It's all right. Don't be sorry. It's not you.
I want to get out of here just as much as you do.
I'm gonna cast jump and see if I can jump up onto the ogre just to make Krista Berg mad.
Casting jump, you leap astride the ogre right in front of Krista Berg.
That's my spot. I'm gonna jump there.
Stay in your fierce crouch.
Is that my move?
Yeah.
Alright.
Okay,
I crouch fiercely.
You son of a bitch.
Do I have more than one tree token?
No, that was it.
Oh. I know, guys. I'm sorry too.
Is it your turn? I'm sorry. Yeah, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Go ahead,
that's okay. You're going this way. I'm going to use my armlet of summer to heat up metal.
Okay.
I'm going to heat up the steel that I have in my possession, throw it into my backpack.
What steel? You just like have a plate of steel? On
yeah, position? Yeah, for striking, for stoking, starting fires.
Okay.
Crouch. I heat up the steel. Uh-huh. I throw it into my backpack. Okay. I create like I cut a little part of it. So, and I tie. It'll get there. I tie my rope to like the strap of the backpack, mm-hmm. and I create like a souped up. Who fought Goliath?
David.
I like a
who soup fought
up.
Goliath.
peanut butter and what do you call it? It's got fruit in it.
I whip it around my head.
Sling.
So like a slingshot, exactly, but a souped-up slingshot. And when it's in the exact right position, I hurl it at his throat so I don't hit Sharpie. And the idea being that it's like shrapnel and that the metal... So roll it.
So, yeah. So yeah, no, you do that. You whip it up as you start whipping it around your head. The backpack starts catching fire. And
okay.
Yeah, I'm Jesus Christ, you guys. What am I? A monster? And you throw it, and it hits him in the throat. What were you expecting?
You're in such a feisty mood tonight, Spencer.
I know. I'm all over the place. I don't get it. Dealing 11 damage. The ogre clutches at his burning throat.
I gotta say, I didn't think that was gonna work.
Just time-wise, she accomplishes so much in a turn. It's like watching a PBS show. She makes a rocking chair and then sits in it, makes lemonade, and then invites the enemy to drink the lemonade, but then... I guess I'm jealous.
Yeah. He just claws at his throat as it's on fire. Ooh. That happens.
Finish him to Berg.
All right. I'm already fiercely crouching. Oh. I want to hop onto this guy. Dan's right where I was going to go, so I'll go next to him. I'd like to leap onto him.
You leap onto him.
All right. Is there any way I can get up to where his head is and throw rope down so we can get everyone up and everyone can just beat on his head?
Yeah.
Let's do that.
You do that.
All right. Charlie, come on, get up. Get up here.
I climb up the rope.
All right, come on. Get up here.
And I go down his pants.
No. Don't go down there.
And I go up to his dick and balls and I use cleave.
What's your fortitude?
My fortitude? 8.
Do you realize how much ogre semen you're going to have to climb through to get to this?
It wouldn't be my first time, yeah. Chris. It would not be my first time.
Into this semen slick slacks. You are overcome by the overcoming.
Did
and
you roll
find
a...
yourself too nauseated.
Oh,
to
no! I just keep sliding down the pant leg until I come out. And I come out, and I do one of those, like Laurel and Hardy, one of the...
You need to cut your way out of these pants. He's on one knee. Yeah. You gotta cut your way out of these burlap pants.
I came down the other one.
Yeah. All right.
All right. That did not go as planned, you guys.
You should have stayed in his head, man.
I didn't expect ogre cum to be that overwhelming.
Lesson learned. Ogre cum.
Ogre anything is putrid.
Live and learn.
Yeah.
Well,
indeed.
Sharpie, finish this guy. Come on.
No, first he punches Sharpie.
Oh, no.
Isn't Sharpie on him? Is he like
Sharpie takes 12 damage.
Oh!
Whatever. I have a thing called the Rod of the Serpent. What does that do again?
It turns into a serpent.
There's a time and a place for that. What did somebody yell out?
Throw it down his pants.
I'm not going to do anything clever. I mean, I'm on his head. I just want to... I'm not a real bladed weapon kind of guy. I'm just looking for a quick...
Did you climb up when you're on his head with us?
Yeah. I'm just going to do... Can I do a Scorching Ray on the back of his head? Right where Ving Rhames' Band-Aid would be?
Casting your arms in a magical manner, you unleash a blazing, scorching ray directly into the... What was that part of his head you mentioned?
It's that where the nape of his neck.
Right, in the nape of his neck. And it burns. And it burns. Dealing 16 damage.
Yeah!
You can kind of see through all this burned flesh and skin, his exposed spinal column, and he kind of...
Is he dead?
Yeah.
We did it! Ladies and gentlemen. I got the wrong thing. And keep it grabbing. Thank you for coming to Harmontown. Blew it. Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you, Tyler.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Levi, for coming up. Anatoly. Adam for the great line. Everyone else we spoke to. Erin McGathy, one more time for her, please.
Thanks so much.
Spencer Crittenden. I'm Jeff Davis. One more time for your mayor, Dan Harmon.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks for the sticks, Bill. And thanks, Seek Donnelly, for all of your free comic book stuff that was on your seats when you came in here. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.